Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for revealing yourself to the humble and weary. We acknowledge our weariness from striving and sin, and we respond to Jesus' invitation for rest. We come to you without pretension, as empty-handed, childlike person ready to receive your guidance. We take on your yoke and trust in your gentleness, seeking a deep rest that comes from finding our home in you. Amen. These words from Matthew appear shortly after the query from jail of John the Baptist as to whether Jesus is the one who is to come. Jesus supports John as the Elijah type, but laments the idleness in unbelief of the generation he was into. And on the omitted and the given lection, Jesus utters woes against the cities which are not repentant. Then Matthew's narrative moves to Jesus' prayer of thankfulness and compassion, compassionate invitation. The marketplace parable draws on children's games, mock weddings, and funerals. Jesus describes the generation in his time who are behaving like arrogant children who refuse to respond to any cue, whether joy or sorrow. John the Baptist came with a stricter, sober call, fasting in the wilderness, preaching repentance with fire in his eyes. And what did they say? He has a demon. They rejected John's modest ministry as demonic, showing the stubbornness and lack of repentance among the people in this time. Then the Son of Man came, eating and drinking, celebrating with tax collectors and sinners, showing the joy of the kingdom. And what do they say? Look, a gluttony drunkard, a friend of sinners. Too loose, too compromising. Even the stable fellowship of Jesus with the sinners is dismissed as immoral indulgence. They criticize both. They dance to neither tune. And Jesus says this refusal is not harmless. Jesus declares wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. If we look at the fruit, John prepared the way. Jesus came and healed the sick, forgave sins, welcomed the outcast, and raised the dead. The deeds speaks, but many refused to listen and believe. These verses show how hardened the human hearts are to criticizing God's methods instead of responding in faith. Jesus says, "Let anyone with ears listen." Are we listening? Or are we still complaining that the flute is wrong and the wailing is wrong? If we complain about the other's wisdom, especially those with authority over us, take note. We have an enemy who will use it to steal your joy, to instill division, to steal a good relationship, and to steal your peace. Why not judge rightfully instead? As a new creation in Christ, you know, and you know that you are not wrestling against flesh and blood. You know you are not wrestling with Garland, who puts on the wrong music. I did not mean you have a complaint about me, but it's just an example. We need to repent because the same stubborn and offense-speaking spirit that rejected John the Baptist in Jesus is alive in every heart that prefers its own wisdom to God's varied kindness. Apostle James reminds us, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality and hypocrisy. But we cannot recognize it while we sit with arms folded, unwilling to believe in truth, in mourn, in repentance of our sins. Then Jesus did something remarkable by looking up to heaven and praying, not for the crowds who rejected him, but in thanksgiving. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. God conceals kingdom truth from those who trust in their own insight, their high religious credentials, or their moral superiority. The wise and intelligent in Jesus' time were the scribes and Pharisees who carried heavy burdens of commandments, endless traditions, and overwhelming expectations. They sit on the seat of Moses, and they think they see clearly. But their very confidence blinded them. Their hearts were hardened and would not let God be God on God's terms. Infants, on the other hand, are those who are humble, dependent, obedient disciples and believers of Jesus Christ. They are the ones who know they bring nothing to the table. Think of the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the uneducated fishermen who simply came to Jesus. Apostle Paul later echoes this in his first letter to the Corinthian church. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. Which are you? It's the convicting question for every one of us. Do you approach God as a smart adult who knows God, or as a little child who simply knows he needs mercy? These things, intellectual pride, spiritual self-reliance, the need to be right and the fear of looking foolish, keep more people from Jesus than we realize. You can attend church for decades, master theology, maintain a spotless reputation, and still miss the kingdom because you did not change and become like little children. Then Jesus continues with new arrogance, claiming that all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, reveals that reconciliation with and true knowledge of the Father comes through him alone. Neither human philosophy, moral self-improvement, religious, nor external religious activity can bring us into saving relationship with God. It is through the person of Christ and his work alone as mediator that we are granted access to the Father. And here comes Jesus' invitation that has drawn millions of weary souls across the centuries. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus does not speak to people who feel mildly tired. The word weary means exhaustion from labor. Heavy burden describes people struggling under loads too great to bear. Many in Jesus' audience were crushed by impossible religious demands, by guilt, and by weight of trying to earn God's favor. Others were plagued by anxiety, secret sin, or the oppressive expectations of culture and family. What burdens do you carry today? The burden of pretending you have it all together? Or any burden of unforgiveness? What about the burden of performance-based identity, saying you are only valuable if you achieve, produce, or impress? Are you burdened by comparison in this current age of social media? Or the burden of unconfessed sin that grows heavier? Jesus sees this all, and he does not say, try harder. He says, come to me. What he offers is not abdication from responsibility, but he offers a yoke that is different because it is easy, which is kind, good, pleasant, and perfectly fitted for you. Jesus is the master craftsman who shapes the yoke to your shoulders. More than he steps into the yoke beside you and bear the heaviest part. That is why it is light. As one old preacher said, he bears it with us. He bears it with us. Jesus says, listen from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. The rest he gives is not first a change of circumstances, but a change of heart. When you come under his gentle instruction, pride is dismantled, self-reliance is crucified, and you discover the rest Jeremiah spoke of. Stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient path, for the good way lies, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. This is the gospel, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures and was raised on the third day. In his crucifixion, the gentle and obedient Son bore our sins in his body on the tree. was pierced for our transgressions and became a curse for us. Enduring the judgment our sin deserved. In his resurrection, God vindicated his Son, declared him to be the Son of God in power, and raised him for our justification. The empty tomb proclaims that sin's power is broken, and that through Christ, a living hope in a new way to the Father are opened to all who believed. Come as you are. Come weary. Come burdened. Come with your questions and your failures. Come like a child, empty-handed, trusting, dependent. Jesus is ready to receive you. His yoke is kind. His heart is humble. His rest is real. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you today that you have been part of this generation that refuses to dance or mourn, that you have trusted your own wisdom instead of becoming like a child, and that you are struggling under burdens which Jesus never asked you to carry, then today is the day to respond. Come to Him. Take His yoke. Learn from Him, and you will find rest for your souls. You can pray this prayer with me in silence. Lord Jesus Christ, you have said, come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I come to you now, confessing that I have trusted in my own understanding and resisted the simplicity of childlike faith. Forgive me for the ways I have hardened my heart and refused your wisdom. I lay before you the burdens I was never meant to carry, casting all my anxieties on you because you care for me. Take your rightful place as my Lord and Savior. Teach me to take your yoke upon me and learn from you. For you are gentle and humble in heart. By your cross, cleanse me. By your resurrection, give me new life. Grant me the rest you promise, not as the world gives, but the peace that comes from reconciliation with the Father through you. I trust you and I come to you. Amen.